Grace be unto you, peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends and fellow redeemed in Christ, in the chapel schedule during this quarter, two occasions of passages from the book of Amos are given. Last Monday, as you may recall, our colleague Dr. Rudolf Blank delivered a challenging and edifying message from Amos chapter 8, verse 4 to 7. Today is the second occasion on the Amos passage. The message of Amos, a sheep farmer from Tekoa in the south, and perhaps the greatest of the so-called minor prophets, was presented in the 8th century before Christ during the reign of Jeroboam II. A clear, vigorous style with rhetorical devices and the remarkable gift of vivid illustrations. His speeches witness to a thorough knowledge of the prevailing situation of his time, which he well observed, I believe, while he was visiting markets to sell his produce. Politically successful, materially prosperous, culturally advanced, and religiously active. Nevertheless, Israel did not look nice, full of worms and rottenness. In their power and prosperity, the Israelites violated both of the two commandments of love for their God and their neighbors, evidenced in their false religion and political complacency to each hope. Increased expansion and the developing trade brought wealth into the country. But concurrently with the increased wealth, there was an associated rise in those social evils. The rich became richer, and the poor became even poorer. The older economic structure gradually gave away to the sharp distinction of wealth and privilege, with the extensive programs with luxury. Side by side with the decay of the social order and morality, there was the corruption of religion away from the worship of Yahweh, Israel's high privilege and responsibility. In such a gloomy picture of life context, the words of the text, chapter 6, 1 to 7, read a few minutes ago, were directed against the self-confidence of the ruling class, focusing on their pride and self-sufficiency, on the elegant luxury, false sense of security. His message was against Israel, but it also fits those in Jerusalem as well as in Samaria, both the south and north. Amazingly, even our time, some 27 years later. The essential feature of the message can be summed up in the word righteousness, a clear indictment for allowing such a situation to develop. The New Testament, as we know, alluded to the words of Amos only on a few occasions in Acts and Revelations. But the message of Amos lives on mightily in the New Testament. For instance, John the Baptist, the call of repentance by Jesus, St. Paul, Apostles John and James. On the other hand, In the nativity narratives of Matthew and Luke, we see Amos' promise that God would raise up the declined house of David from its hopeless ruins and give mankind its hope. The book of Amos, as we know, concludes with the miracle of promise of hope in chapter 9, verses 11 to 15. In this short epilogue, a bright future is depicted in which the promise is made that there will be a brilliant reconstruction of the house of David, a promise of restoration with assurance. God would not speak his great words of promise and hope until he has shaken sinners out of the increased complacency with which insulates them against the call to the repentance and faith. Having heard and read the entire book of Amos, preferably read in one sitting, we clearly observe the severe warnings against the many horrible sins and the unmistakable promise and hope among many woes. Symbolically and realistically, these warnings against the sins and crimes so fit into the current situation of life in our generation. Indeed, in the midst of all these woes, we are specially chosen to proclaim as small Amoses the urgent message of repentance and the good news of salvation, of hope in the only Savior, Jesus Christ, in these stormy last days of human history. Yes, the situation is not optimistic, but the outlook on the horizon in Jesus Christ is always bright and promising. May the Lord graciously use us as his instruments, as he did with Amos. Amen.